This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Thursday, October 3, 2024. Votive Mass of the Holy Eucharist by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's two readings today, on a day when we have a votive Mass for the Holy Eucharist. It really drives home the point of the necessity, the reality of our Lord, particularly at times when things for us seem helpless. They're not a matter of if it happens to you. Many in this room have experienced already a sense of helplessness. Like I said, it's not a matter of if it happens to you, it's a matter of when. There is a time in your life where you will feel that everything's out of your control. It will be absolutely out of your control. You will have nothing to do with it. What happens when we face those times in life? Well, for us Catholics, what we do is rely on the Eucharist. The Eucharist was given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ because he knows our frame. He knows that we are creatures of this world, and we have to engage in things by seeing, feeling, hearing, tasting things. It makes it real for us. If were for no Eucharist, it would mean that all we had was propositions and words of our Lord Jesus Christ. It would mean that there was nothing tangible in our life. We would have a history lesson. Christianity would be a philosophy. And it is unfortunate that a lot of circles, which the title is used Christian, that is exactly what it is. It's a philosophy. It is some propositions and some rules by which to live your life. And I mean, that's a start, but it's not real. And what I mean by that, I mean tangible. I mean something to touch. This is why our Lord, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How can that come to fruition if we're just talking about propositions? It can't be. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be there with you, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the Eucharist. I mean, that's not the only place our Lord is present with us. He's present with us in his priesthood, that acting sacramentally, they act in persona Christi in his stead. The church is the body of Christ in this world as an institution, but nonetheless divine in its establishment. These things prove to us that our Lord wants us to engage with him, not just talk about him, but to engage. Particularly in those times, as I was saying before, in which we feel absolutely helpless, where we feel like we're being tossed about to and fro on the waves of chaos in this world. We're all going to experience it. We need some place to grab for an anchor, and that, in our case, is the Eucharist. When somebody's in the hospital or somebody's preparing for something, and you are confronted with, here, let me talk to you about this. Let me tell you how much Jesus loves you. And that's all well, and I am not being pejorative by that message whatsoever. But I'm saying it's something much more tangible, much more real when you receive the Eucharist. This is what it's there for. We need to engage with our Lord Jesus Christ in those times. The first reading from Job, we're talking the Old Testament, before the institution of the Blessed Sacrament of the altar, but prophetically Job speaks. We know what's going on with Job. I don't have to get into the details on that. If there was ever a hopeless case on the face of this planet, it was Job. Nothing is going right for the man at all, not even close. Everything is bad. Everything is horrendous in his life. Then his friends show up and they start mouthing him. Oh, you must have done something really, really horrible. God's got to be really mad at you for something. I haven't done anything. Oh, you must have done something. Thanks, guys. He starts at it. Why isn't it enough that this is happening to me? Obviously, it's in God's providence. Obviously, God is, as he uses the word, pursuing me. And you have to pursue me also. But then he goes immediately to this. You know what? No matter what happens, I know that when this flesh is consumed, when I die, that I will see my Redeemer who lives. Prophetically, he speaks of the reality of it. He says, I will see with my eyes. This emphasis on him perceiving his Savior really, tangibly. Not, I'll go to heaven someday and there will be this ethereal experience, this transcendent experience of me in the cosmos and that will be my Redeemer. No, my Redeemer, a person. I will see him with my eyes. It says, he will stand on this earth. He's talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. In the gospel, one of the things that our Lord emphasizes in other gospel passages when he speaks about his real presence, John 6, we just went through several weeks of a presentation of John chapter 6 on Sunday homilies. We learned that we need to jump tracks and stop looking at things propositionally and looking at them tangibly. How can this man give us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink? He does. Okay. They don't know what it is at the time, but that is the question that the worldling asks. This is when you don't think spiritually. And when our Lord sends them out two by two, this emphasis in a completely different context of mission. When you get there and they will not receive you, knock the dust off it because the Son of Peace is not there. If they receive you, they receive peace. If they don't receive you, they will not receive peace. That's the Eucharist. Those of us who receive our Lord Jesus Christ have a peace which passes all understanding. That does not mean the absence of conflict. The peace which passes all understanding means that sense of solace when everything is seemingly helpless, but then we receive our Lord Jesus Christ, and there's this little bit of an anchor point, this little bit of solace, a supernatural peace that wells up within us when we receive the Blessed Sacrament. Our Lord emphasis on that, if they don't receive me, no peace. If they receive, this is why he says in John, when he's talking about the Eucharist per se, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. It's just not a matter of you won't have peace. You do not have life in you. This is how important the Eucharist is for us. This is kind of an interesting week liturgically for me. Whatever Mass you do, you have to follow the calendar of that Mass. On Tuesday, following this calendar, it was the celebration of the memorial of St. Therese. And this morning, the Latin Mass, in the Latin Mass calendar, this morning is the Mass of St. Therese. They had to talk about St. Therese two times in 3 days. You could talk about St. Therese for months and months and months. That profound, that deep. That's why she's a doctor of the church. But she is a prime example in the grand scheme of things of the timeline of saints. She's a new saint, 19th century, late 19th century. Pope St. Pius X, Pope in the early 20th century, he, in his day, just a couple generations after, one generation after St. Therese's death, he said that she is the most important modern saint. Okay, so when a saint says about another saint that they are the most important modern saint, that should mean something. But when you look at St. Therese, her life, you see the personification, what I'm talking about the Eucharist. When things seem hopeless. Most people know the story about St. Therese. I mean, in a nutshell, you look at this, it's a very dramatic life. I mean, our Lord, praise God, set the stage for her life that was to come by having her born of two saints. Her parents were pious beyond measure. But I mean, if you're pious beyond measure, that means you got the favor of God. Wow. They had 9 children. 3 of them died in infancy, 1 of them 5 years old. when they die. That seems rough. That doesn't seem rough. It is rough. But then you have every other surviving sibling, every one of his daughters, five, became nuns. That's saying something. Most people pray that somebody in their family would desire the priesthood or the religious life, and every one of his surviving daughters, to the number of five, become religious sisters. Saint Therese, again, she's born into this family, pious beyond belief, but a family that's beset by the trials of God. Sort of Job-esque there for a little while, losing all these children, and then St. Therese's mom dies when she's 5 years old. That's devastating to a little child to lose their mother. She's devastated emotionally, and then shortly thereafter, she gets physically ill. Nobody can tell what the problem is. She's got these tremors, and they can't get a grip on. She's bedridden. She can't do anything. And through the miraculous intercession of our Blessed Mother, she's cured, no thanks to any doctor in this world. And then she receives the Eucharist. She receives the Eucharist, and all of a sudden, the peace which passes all understanding comes to this woman whose life would be seemingly hopeless in the world's view. And she is, from that point on, consumed with deepening her understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ, to receive the Eucharist more and more. Why? Because she understands. She knows for a fact, objectively, that when things are bad, when you receive the Eucharist, all of a sudden, it's not that they get better. I mean, the woman died when she was 24 years old. Okay, so in the world's view, it didn't get any better for her. She died when she was 24. Praise God for her. Thank God for her, because 24 years of arduous process toward heaven, and she got to go there a whole lot sooner than most of us. This is a glory for her. She received her reward, but that reward was anchored in the Eucharist. So when we look at the Eucharist, we look at Job's words prophetically. We look at the words of our Lord Jesus Christ that speak of, they don't receive me, they don't receive peace. And he's just talking about the propositions of the gospel. How much more the Eucharist? This is why he says, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Our life is anchored in this world by the Eucharist. End of story. That is the anchor point. This is why we refer to it as the source, center, and summit of our faith. The more we can avail ourselves of the Eucharist, the stronger our connection with it is, and we're not blown around so much by the stuff that goes on around here. And we just focus our attention on what our Lord provides for us in the Eucharist. This is the glory of the Blessed Sacrament in itself. When we avail ourselves of that Blessed Sacrament, we are putting ourselves in a position where, although the tumult and the chaos of this world that surrounds us and buffets us, it's not going to knock us down. It can't knock us down. This is the Eucharist. This is what we need to understand, because when we understand this, our helplessness, this is when we have to avail ourselves of something else. When we know that we are frail and that we are hopeless in this world, both against the temporal assaults that we do, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world throws stuff at us, and then in our flesh we're weak and we can succumb to that, whether it be temptations or just the terrible things that go on and become depressed. Anyway, you know, we can do that. Yeah, that's very easy. Look around us. You know, look at some family members and friends. Look at the world. Look at the church. All these things going on. And, you know, why is it? Is because, unfortunately, and let's keep the fingers pointed at the church. Why all the talk about the Eucharistic renewal, and all this kind of stuff? And it just befuddles me. Eucharistic renewal, and they continue to denigrate our Lord by the way they administer him. They denigrate him by not emphasizing the necessity of a proper disposition before you receive our Lord. All these things are bad. People are not receiving our Lord properly, and like the apostle, if they don't receive you, knock the dust off your... Well, they are receiving it. They're not receiving him properly. So why St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, if you eat or drink our Lord, unworthily, you eat and drink judgment to yourself. So it's just not a matter of mechanically receiving the Eucharist. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of belief in what the, of who is there that we receive. It's not a matter of a proposition, because a proposition can't be your anchor point in this world. Only a person can, and that person is Jesus Christ. And the only way that we can tangibly engage with him in this world is through the Eucharist. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.